I don't know if I should emphasize that because some of you are saying, shopping is crazy. Except some of you really, really enjoy the whole shopping experience and getting that special gift. And some of you are on the other side and really like to receive that gift. And then some of you this Christmas season are giving some hints. You know, like, men, have you ever taken the Home Depot catalog, you know, and kind of opened it up and circled something in there and just kind of put it by your wife's, table there next to her bed? Oh, boy, that's kind of a hint, huh? Wives, have you ever taken that jewelry catalog and just kind of like highlighted something and put it out where he goes to get his toast? You know he's going to go there. Hints. How about that? Christmas is an absolute wonderful time of experiencing the joy of gift giving and gift receiving. And talking about hints, there's an urban legend of a young man who was going to graduate from college. And he knew that his dad would probably give him some type of special gift. And so he began to drop some hints about what he would like. And it was a car. Wow. His dad was wealthy and he could afford it. And so he put some hints around about a specific car at Bay Ridge Honda. And he was hoping that his dad would get the hint. And it came to his graduation day, and his father said, "I want you to come into my study." And so he came in and sat down. He said, "Son, I'm just so proud of you. I'm so thankful that you're my son. I love you, and I want the best for your life." And he takes out of his drawer, he says, "I have a gift for you." And he says, he hands him this Bible, a new Bible, with his name embossed on it. And his son kind of pulls back, kind of reacts. And he doesn't know how to respond. He kind of takes it a little and then puts it on the table and says, "Dad, I what am I going to do with a Bible? I don't really want a Bible." He leaves the room. He leaves irritated. Now, we think of this, don't we? We think of this experience and we say, how in the world would any son treat his father in this manner? How could that be? Every one of us kind of cringe when we hear it. If this is based on a true story, it really kind of shocks you. It shouldn't be. But I want to take a moment and I want to just mention to you that you need to personalize this for a moment. We talked about the gift of God's call to salvation 2 weeks ago. The gift of God's call, calling out to us, wanting us to come home and to be a child of God. And it's such a wonderful picture of how God would leave heaven and come and call out and live for 3 years here on this earth as a proclaimer of the kingdom of God and making it clear that he was the promised Messiah and giving us the opportunity to receive him. And we become his children when we do humble ourselves and turn to him, repent of our sin and turn to him. We become his children, his son, his daughter, and it's such a wonderful thing. And yet, after that experience, through the many, many years, I've heard people say to me, "Why did God allow this sickness to come into my life? Why did God allow this financial setback? Why did God allow me to lose my job? Why did God allow me to lose this relationship, have this relationship break up? I wanted so much this marriage, or I wanted so much to have this promotion. And you began to say, you know, what's up with this? I thought God was going to bless me. I thought God was going to give me something very, very special. And I think one of the obvious things that we miss in our lives when we become Christians is the gift of God's call to new behavior. The gift of God's call to new behavior. We miss this. It's almost like you buy a brand new phone and someone tells you, yeah, I'm accessing this new information on my phone. And you say, well, how can you do that? And they say to you, well, there's a free app that you can just download. You just go get it yourself. It's there for you. It's a gift. You can use it. And you just say, oh, how about that? And you walk away and you don't use it. You don't have it. You have that wonderful new phone, but you don't have that extra opportunity. You might be alive in Jesus Christ, and in some ways, you're rejecting the gifts that come along with that wonderful gift. And the one gift that needs to be focused on is that new behavior. All that is part of the new behavior that God gives to us as we are His children. We're His son. We're His daughters. And one of the things that come to my mind is the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is speaking to the multitudes. And He says something that is very jarring. And if you being evil, have you ever stopped and said, what? He's talking to this multitude and he's coming to the end of his message. He's kind of wrapping it up. Can you imagine? And he's saying, and if you being evil, well, prior to that, he had just said, you know, who among you is a man? You know of men among you and who have children. And if his son asks him for bread, is he going to give him a stone? No, he's not going to give him a stone. We know that. If he asks for a serpent, if he asks for a fish, is he going to give him a serpent? No, of course not. How ridiculous is that? If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give things to you that you ask of Him? So the key here is to ask yourself, am I evil? Why would He say that to those people? Because He starts His message out to the nation of Israel who has become very complacent, very smug in their goodness, in their self-righteousness. We have the law. We're good. We have the Ten Commandments. We have hundreds of other commandments that separate us from all of the pagans, from all of the heathens. We're good. We are God's people. And so Jesus comes to His people and He says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are broken in their spirit and acknowledge, I have nothing. And they mourn over it. And they're humble. They're meek. But then He comes to that place where He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So what He's doing is He's helping the people who are listening to Him see who they are. He's lifting up the mirror for them. And He's saying, you don't have righteousness. You need to be hungering and thirsting after my righteousness. You don't have righteousness of your own. And so he's just moving toward this point where I believe, as He's wrapping up this message, if you then being evil, Wow. I don't think people were that shocked. I think they were ready for that statement. Because he said, do you remember what the ancients have said? You shall not murder. And everybody's nodding their head and saying, oh, absolutely. Oh, no. Don't murder. Oh, I would never murder anyone. But he says, but if you're angry in your heart with your brother, you've already committed murder. You've said Raca, you empty-headed fool. You've called them an idiot. You have anger in your heart to the point of destroying the person. You want to destroy them in any way you possibly can. It is murder. And I'm sure people at that time, as they were listening, were shocked. Well, he also said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. And so here they are listening to this and saying, I'm not as good as I thought I was. And so he marches on toward this end of his message. And he's saying to them, you know, I want you to understand how to come before your heavenly Father. If you know how to give good gifts, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give to those who ask of him? And what should you be asking? What good gift should you be asking? Salvation, number one. And number two, an ability to love. An ability to not only love God, but to love your neighbor as yourself. It's a gift. It's a call. And we looked at this gift of God's call based upon Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul is in prison and he's saying, I'm the prisoner of the Lord, and I beseech you, I implore you, I beg you to walk worthy of the what? Of the calling by which you have were called. And do it with all lowliness and gentleness. There's a complete different attitude in how you walk as you have received this gift. And you've responded to the gift. And in this passage here, he goes down and he says, prior to this passage, he's saying, don't live as the Gentiles live any longer. In the darkness of their mind, in the futility of their heart, they're filled with lewdness and sexual immorality. And in fact, they can't get enough of it. They're never satisfied. They keep going after it. You're no longer that person. You're a brand new person. And he says, if Paul says this in a few places, if indeed you have heard him, if indeed you've responded to his call, if indeed you've really experienced receiving the gift of God's call to salvation, have you really received it? Because before we go on to the gift of new behavior, that responding to the gift, that call to the gift of new behavior, that we need to make sure, am I alive in Christ? Have I really experienced life in him? If indeed you have heard him, heard his call, and you've been taught in him, as truth is where? It's in Christ. Have you experienced that? Can you remember that moment where you saw you were living a lie? You were saying, I'm good. And then you saw the Ten Commandments in reference to your life and you said, I'm bad. That's where truth is found when you are looking to Jesus Christ. You will find the truth. After this passage, he says, then you put off, you know, you put off this old man. That's repentance. He says, that's your experience. You're putting off that old man. The old man, that all he can produce is wickedness. All he can produce is evil. And so he emphasizes to them, if indeed you have heard this call and you have learned, you've been taught in Christ, have you experienced this truth? Has it radically changed you so you're a brand new person in Christ? And he says, if you have, then you have been created in God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what he says. That's what you've experienced. You've been created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. If you've been born again. And that's responding to the gift of God's calling to salvation. Well, when we humbly accept the gift of God's call to salvation, you will have the gift of new behavior that glorifies God. That glorifies God. That's what we want to do. We want to lift up God's name. We want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be someone who is blessing Him. And so we're going to look at, have you downloaded the new behavior? Have you downloaded these apps that God has made available to you? There in Ephesians chapter 4, therefore, putting away lying, let us speak truth one to another. Let each one of you speak with his neighbor. Speak truth with his neighbor. For we are what? We are members of one another. Now, everyone before coming to Christ lies. Now we have a new life that wants to speak truth. Download it. Every morning you wake up and say, you know what? The new man wants to tell the truth. But I'm going to be under pressure today to tell a lie. My flesh, not the old man. The old man is dead. He's dead. But you're still stuck with the flesh that has desires to look good, that has desires not to be in trouble. All right? All of us. What, I wake up in the morning and just say, oh, today I want to, you know, make sure that I'm honest and even if it means I get into a lot of trouble. No. I got to stop and I got to say, Lord, I need your strength because you've given to me truth. I want to use that truth. And it's available. If you're not alive in Christ, it's not available. And you're going to have to grit your teeth real, real, real hard and tell the truth. And you're going to get maybe punished for it. And the next time, you're going to say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm not telling the truth. But when you download truth and you tell the truth, God floods your heart with grace. And He gives you eyes to see why that breathes life into everything you are doing. And you're excited about it. And you want more truth. Be angry and do not sin. Be angry, but do not sin. There's injustice in this world. Be angry at it. But for how long? Only for a little while. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, deal with it. Well, how am I going to deal with being angry over injustice if I don't want to carry it and just become an angry person all the time? I'm going to have to stop and say, God, you see the injustice. I could stop and say, you know what? I'm going to bring this before the law, before the courts, because God has set up the court to deal with this issue. If it's between a brother or sister, I'm going to bring it to the church. And we're going to deal with it in that way. But I am not going to carry anger. I don't have to carry it. God is the one who is ultimate judge. If I carry anger, it means that I'm saying, you better watch it because I'm going to bring judgment down upon your head. Only God does that. You don't. Only the authorities that God raises up to bring about justice do that. So you have to know that you're in a place where you can release that anger to the proper authority to tell them and to have them take responsibility. And they're going to, here on earth, the earthly justices and judges are going to do it in an imperfect way. And ultimately, you have to say, God, I know you are the one who is in control, and I'm going to trust you. Because if I don't do that, then I'm going to usurp your authority. And who is the one that has usurped God's authority? Satan. And I'm going to give an invitation to Satan to come and to deceive and to work through my life. And that's going to bring a lot of destruction. What an incredible gift that God has given to us to handle anger in a proper way. Let him who stole steal no longer, but let him what? Labor with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to those who are in need. Stealing is something that is part of all the world. Some people are worse than others. I mean, the Apostle Paul said the Cretans were really liars and terrible people. So there might be thieves who around the world who are more intense than others. I don't know. But it doesn't matter what country you're in. It doesn't matter if you're in a communist country. It doesn't matter if you're in a capitalist country. It doesn't matter where you are. I mean, think of it. In communism, they say to you, the government owns everything. And we will make sure everybody has equal amounts of everything, which is equal amounts of very, very little. Everybody's very, very poor, except for who? The leaders, which are very, very, very small percentage of all the people. But everybody else is equally poor, just basically poor, poor, poor. All right? So you hear that and you say, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get mine. You think there's no stealing in a place where everybody's equally poor? You're confused. Well, then there's capitalism. And what does that say? The people own everything. People own everything. And people are dependent on themselves. In communism, people are dependent on the government. In capitalism, people are dependent on themselves. Only until you become a Christian can you operate correctly in communism or capitalism. If you're a true Christian under communism, you say, the government might want to think that they own everything, but God owns everything. And they might want to have me think that they're going to take care of me, but my Heavenly Father takes care of me. I pray every day, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. The Father knows what I need in my life. And I'm dependent upon him. Well, that's the same for capitalism, isn't it? We might think we own everything as capitalists, but God can touch it and it can all be gone in a second, right? God owns everything, and God owns my life. And God has called me to work, to labor, to do a good work, and whatever God allows to come into my life, then I'm going to have eyes to see, eyes to give. I see this in Church at the Rock in a wonderful way. I know a lot of people have processed this, and they have this app in their lives. Think of the Mozambique orphanage. We've given almost $100,000 through the past 7-8 years for this orphanage. And I made there was an appeal for $5,000 to help build the wall around the orphanage. Not the wall on the southern border. Okay, around the orphanage. And we're already past $7,000. Isn't that wonderful? Just people opening their hearts and just saying, yes, I see the need. I want to bless those people. And so, you might say, well, I really was going to be giving for the orphanage today. Too late. I'm just kidding you. You can give to orphans. You give to New Beginnings. If you have money that you are going to give to Mozambique, we've already surpassed the goal on that. But you can give to orphans. You can give to New Beginnings. The Crisis Pregnancy Center of Alicia Jones there in Queens that ministers in a way where we are bringing ladies to them to save their children. It's expensive. We gave $35,000 this past year. Why? Because we believe this, that God owns our lives, and that as we work, He gives us hearts that can see those in need. Orphans are in need. And so if you'd like, you can give to New Beginnings. This next one is a difficult for me. I wish I could say, oh, no, all of these are a snap. They're not. The Apostle Paul says, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, out of your mouth, but what is good for edification, that it may give grace to those who hear, to the hearers. It might impart grace to the hearers. A corrupt form of speech. At times I'm very cynical. At times I'm sarcastic. And God convicts me, and I say, I'm going to download that app. I was, looking at Philippians chapter 4, reminding myself of Philippians chapter 4 this past week. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. And it's just a wonderful passage. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, yes. And then it says, let your gentleness be made known to all men. Let your gentleness. That would affect your communication, wouldn't it? You know, how sarcastic are you going to be? How cynical at times are you going to be? And, that's something that I see. You know, God, you've given me this app of gentleness. You've given me this app of speaking words that are going to be necessary to build up another person. God, let me receive that gift and use that. Unpack it today and use it for your glory, for your honor. Well, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are what? Sealed for the day of redemption. This is exciting. I've been given the Holy Spirit who has sealed me. He has said, you are owned by God. My life in you, living in you, you now have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is proof that you are prepared for the day when Jesus comes back again and calls for his church. You're ready. That's exciting. And so I need to make sure I have the app of gentleness, as I spoke of before, where all bitterness and all wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, along with all malice, be put away from me. All of that is put away. And what happens? I'm kind to one another. I'm tender-hearted. I'm able to forgive people. I'm able to stop and to say, God has forgiven me so much. It is so wonderful what he has forgiven me of. I want to forgive this person. I want to bless them and forgive them. So these are apps that you download that God is saying they're waiting for you. These are gifts that are waiting for you. You can't grit your teeth and say, today I am going to make sure I tell the truth. No. You start off your day by saying, you know what? I no longer live according to the old man because he's dead. It's just my desires to look good that are operating. And so if something is going to make me look bad, I am going to lie about it so that I don't look bad. No, you stop and you say, that's not the behavior God's provided for me. He's told me that blessed are the meek. Blessed are the ones who do not demand to look good. Blessed are the ones who go through life and say, you know what? I don't have to have everything right. I just need to operate in truth. I need to make sure that I am speaking from the new man. God has placed a gift available for the new man, and that is to speak truth. It's available. But you have to stop, and you have to remember, he's taken me out of the old man. He's dead. That old man is dead. He's given me a new man. And with that new man, there are all a bunch of new behaviors that are available. And so you stop and you begin to use them. Well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about receiving the gift of God's call to new behavior? The big deal in responding to the gift of God's call to new behavior is that you are now a blessing to your loved ones. Why? Because you don't lie to them. You tell them the truth. Now, why is that such a blessing? When they catch you in a lie, It breaks your relationship down. They can't trust you. It's an incredible blessing when you're practicing truth and someone says, I can depend upon that person. That's a beautiful world to live in. The big deal in responding to the gift of God's call to new behavior is that you are now a blessing to your community. You're now a blessing to your community because you are no longer a taker, but a giver. You're no longer someone who is a thief, but you're someone who looks for opportunities to give. That's an incredible blessing. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal for the community at large. The big deal in responding to the gift of God's call to new behavior is that you are now building people up with what? Your words. Your words are giving them grace. Your words are building them up. Your words are strengthening them. Your words are giving them hope. And it's from a life of tenderheartedness, kindness, forgiveness. That's incredible. That is incredible. The big deal in responding to the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's call to new behavior, is that you're not directed by the Holy Spirit. And the result is what? Well, you're not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You're not giving place to the devil to come and wreak havoc in your life and your family and people around you. You're saying, listen, I'm giving to God all responsibility to be the final judge. I'm not going to walk around arrogantly and act like I am the judge. I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to acknowledge that He is, and that there is no place for me, you know, getting upset and irritated and wrathful and anger and clamoring and causing problems. Who am I? I'm not the judge. God is. And so He's called me to be kind. He's called me to be tender-hearted. And He has that power to do that available to me. Today, will I be judge, or am I going to be a fellow pilgrim? Am I going to be a person who is on a journey with my other brothers and sisters, and we're all experiencing the same challenges, and you need someone to be kind and tender-hearted to you today? That's a big deal. That's a real big deal. It would have been a big deal had the Son operated on the behavior of a true son. We started out with the Son not acting as a son. But He was. He was a son of the Father who sat there and said, I have a special gift for you. And the Son didn't want it. What do you want? What do you want from God? Do you want the gifts that He wants to give you? Or are you focused on gifts that men have been making up? Think of what the church would be if we focused on the gifts of the new behavior, the Spirit-filled life that God had given to us. Can you imagine what would happen? The Son got a call. The story goes on where the Son got a call that his father was very ill, and he had not seen his father too many times through the years. And he said, okay, I'm going to come home. And he got caught up a few days and started making some arrangements and got a phone call and said, your father has passed. Your father has died. But he says, you're supposed to still come home because he has made you the executor of the estate. So you're supposed to come home and put things in order. So he came home and looking around and came into the father's study, and there was the Bible. There was that Bible. And of course he was very, very disturbed in his heart and very remorseful and very broken and just saying, how could I do that? How could I do that to my father? And he takes up the Bible and, you know, he just thumbs through it. And then he realizes, you know what? There's something here. It opens up to this page here. And there's a check inside. And that's written out to Bay Ridge Honda. You know, for the amount of that car that I had wanted. But down in the corner, when you put your memo or what it's for, the father put Matthew 7, verse 11. And so the Bible is open to that passage. And it's highlighted in the Bible for the son. And he looks down there and he says, wow, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? What are you asking? What are you asking God for? It was an incredible journey for the young man to come to the place where he was able to, what? Hear the call to what God had for him. Would he ask God for what God wanted for his life? God's gifts are perfect. Our desires are usually warped until we saturate them in God's word. And then whatever we ask, according to what? God's will. It is going to be provided. It is God's will that we live according to the new behavior he has called us to. It is a gift. It is beautiful. It's worth everything. Don't miss out on it. Father, today, I'm wondering if there are people here today, Father. They're truly your sons and daughters, but they've resisted the gift that you have wanted to give them. They've resisted the gifts of new behavior that you've wanted to give them, and they're pursuing so many other things. I pray today that if indeed they do belong to you, if indeed they have heard your truth and they have been taught in you and experienced your truth, Lord, that they truly, truly will be set free. I thank you for this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.